Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is Ali still. And, excuse me. Tonight, I'm going to take you into another third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth dimensional reality, which is called Facebook. I'm going to review my Facebook wall and friends' posts. So you've got so many of them on there and so many interesting things that every so often I like to do a show around it. So not going to be the normal mystical program that I usually do, but it may lead to that, depending on what we read tonight. But I hope you enjoy it. You're going to bear with me here for a second. Just changing my my thing. Hang on one second. I'm just changing my Facebook category here, if I can find something interesting. Like work. Oh, friends. That's good. Friends. I like that. Okay. And so tonight's category is under friends. And it's going to change in just a second. And, okay. Now, for those of you who are what I'm doing, bear with me one second here. We're going to go to my, update here for a second. Now I'm going to go over to, I'm going to go to my Facebook account. And you can, if you're on Facebook, you can actually listen to this show. It's live on air on Facebook. I hope you do. We will, let me go to my wall here, and, or my home page rather, I'm sorry, and, hang on, starts off where I've got a couple of interesting startups here. Let's see, Cindy Sheehan, who is a Facebook friend. She writes, she's posted today that she's just got invited to be on Washington Unplugged next week with Bob Schieffer, or Schieffer rather, either the 18th or the 20th of next month, or next week, I'm sorry. And we'll let you all know for sure when it is definitely confirmed. My challenge to Robert Gibbs is picking up steam. So I'm not really sure what she did here. I can go to her site and see what her challenge was. Not sure what she challenged. I don't see his challenge here. Another abominoid raises ugly head. I think I just threw up a little in my bag. Cindy gets a little graphic once in a while on her website, but her Facebook page. But she's a great lady, and appreciate her comments. I've had her on my radio show a number of times, actually, and on my FM radio show, and hopefully I'll have her on again in the near future. Let's see. We have, Iona Miller, Space Yard. Iona is a very, very bright lady, and I really appreciate her comments. She sent us a discussion about the solar system in 30 megapixels on the above topsecret.com website, alternative topics discussion forum, space exploration. I'm not really sure what that one is, but I can go to it. But she's very much into science, technology, and the esoteric arts. And I appreciate her her updates. Let's see what she's, what kind of a link she sent here today. Fascinating, yeah. She sent me a link to, not sure what the name of this website is, AboveTopSecret.com, right? AboveTopSecret.com, if you want to check that out. And she found this article on the website. Let's see. It's a tremendous amount, number of articles here and pictures that are in this on the site regarding space technology. And Iona's magazine, she's very much into this. But here's a 2-minute video. Let's see what on the YouTube video say. Get pictures of the solar system.
Pretty big down, 2.5. They got some dust. Pretty big, 2.5 down. Big shadow.
This guy says he recommends us watching this on YouTube direct in HD. Back to Facebook. The author Sue Dent, she has a Facebook friend and she posts almost every day. But she wrote something here. It says, "Look, I made another like in quotes thingy. Tell me again, why do drive-through teller number keys have Braille on them?" I don't know. Drive-through teller number keys have Braille on them. Okay. Let's see. Geneva Thibault, an actress, and Kiel and Ballroom Blitz. Not really sure. This is Kim Bill music video for Ballroom Blitz by Sweet. I hope you'll enjoy it. Let me see. Play this and see if you like it. Thank you. Kill Bill Ballroom Brulettes, and that was sent to me by Genevieve Thibault, and of course, her good friend Keira Knightley, actress, I really enjoy their updates. They send a lot of good stuff my way, and there are some comments on there. And there's something here by Jennifer Thomas Johnson. Jennifer is a sweet girl, and her sister, Teresa. Jennifer says, my email has been hacked. Someone is sending some info, sexual in nature, with my address. Sorry if you get it, but it's not really from me. Okay. Well, I haven't gotten anything from you that was too sexy in nature, Jennifer, but I'll keep an eye out on it. Another comment. some guys were making fun of her. It's cute. She's a sweetheart. Let's see, Luna Francisca Stefanelli and Shara Molyneux were tagged in this particular photo of the galaxy. This was something that just came to mind. Luna is one of my Facebook friends, and Sharia as well. Let's see, Mary Clash. She says, we must experience all the negative emotions, anger, judgment, fear, to understand that we don't let them in our lives anymore. Through forgiveness and thankfulness, those emotions are removed. When we give thanks, where there can only be forgiveness, blessings of love, togetherness, and harmony. Mary Clash is a Facebook friend of mine. And she sends these spiritual messages over every so often, and I appreciate it. Drew Barrymore, here is my Facebook friend, and she sent over Dash by Linda Ellis, a YouTube video. It says, Dash movie launched simple truths into the limelight and has been viewed over 30 million times. See what everyone has been watching and check out our blog for inspirational videos and articles. And click on the link to receive a free newsletter. So that's blog.simpletruths.com. Right? She got mad about something here and says, Kimberly is over. I'm Drew Blythe Barrymore. My nickname D. My height 5'4", okay? Please stop. I don't know if she wants to stop, but Dash has been around a while. I don't know. These posts get kind of funny. But let me just look at what this video is all about. San Francisco She put up here a blackagendareport.com and says, Paul Kagame, America's genocidaire in Central Africa, Black Agenda Report. Let's see. If that's anything here that we can bring up. I'm going to refer you to this Black Agenda Report and on the web. And it's a fascinating journal put out by interesting people. Let's see. On this particular thing about Kagame, is precisely like his predecessor, President Obama's empowers a pro-Western murderer in ink. In Black Africa, a roster that includes the most vicious mass murderers and assassins on the continent. One of them is Rwanda's Paul Kagame, who was culpable in the deaths of millions in Congo. Recently held an election in which he got 93% of the vote, but you won't hear any complaints from the White House. I think that's interesting. Let me see if I can pick up a video.
One of the United States' main allies in Black Africa recently declared himself the winner of a farcical presidential election with 93% of the vote. But there will be no outcry from Hillary Clinton's State Department or Barack Obama's White House, or even much of a fuss from the New York Times, because President Paul Kagame of Rwanda serves U.S. interests. You will never hear Western governments and media call Kagame by his true name, a dictator and warlord from the minority Tutsi tribe that holds sway over the majority Hutu population through a reign of terror. Instead, Western capitalists shower his regime with money and high praise as an example of how Africa should be governed. Paul Kagame and his mentor and fellow warlord in neighboring Uganda, President Waziri Museveni, were given the green light by the West to kill and steal at will in Central Africa. They are the two main architects of the genocide in the Eastern Congo, where some estimate 6 million people have died since Rwanda and Uganda invaded the region in the mid-90s. The soldiers of these two U.S. henchmen are still there in the Democratic Republic of Congo, looting precious minerals for sale to multinational corporations under cover of tribal warfare. Wars created and nurtured by Kagame and Museveni themselves for the sake of power and profit and the favor of the United States and Europe. Kagame and Museveni have more blood on their hands than any combination of men in Africa, which makes them heroes to the West. Compared to the Congolese genocide, stealing an election in Rwanda is child's play. The majority of the Hutu population lives in terror of the Tutsi-dominated regime, which is rooted in the guerrilla army that invaded Rwanda from its bases in Uganda and set off the genocidal tribal violence that killed hundreds of thousands of Tutsis and Hutus, although the Hutu victims of Paul Kagame's army must be mourned in silence. It is a crime in Rwanda to even raise the question of mass killings of Hutus during the violence of 1994 as Kagame fought his way to power. Indeed, any criticism of Kagame's regime is guaranteed to get one branded as a genocidaire, an advocate of genocide, or a proponent of divisionism, which means saying anything that might tend to undermine the people's obedience to Paul Kagame. You might just turn up dead, as did several of the regime's opponents in the run-up to the sham election. No serious opposition was allowed to compete. The Kagame police state has ways to ensure that almost everyone votes for the leader. Voters mark their ballots with their fingerprints next to the chosen candidate, so no one's vote is a secret. The two African heads of state most despised by the United States, Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe and Omar al-Bashir of Sudan, have held elections that were far more fair and credible than Rwanda's Paul Kagame. Presidents Mugabe and Bashir would never arrange for themselves to get 93% of the vote because they would be denounced as vote thieves by the West. But the genocidal dictator Paul Kagame flaunts his disregard for the democratic process, and the West loves him for it. He is doing the U.S. and Europe's killing for them, and they are pleased. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to www.blackagendareport.com.
I want to thank Annie Garrison for sending that along to me via Facebook, and appreciate that. Fascinating work. Let's see. Facebook is silly, really. There's so many silly things and notes that really don't mean too much. But let me see. This is one I missed. Jackie Bachman just sent I just lost it here, I'm sorry. It's going back ways. Jackie Bachman, who's the sister of George Dixon, whose wedding I went to last weekend. It was very great. She was sending over a bunch of pictures of the wedding that she took and others have taken. I took a slew of pictures there myself, about 300 of them. And, these are really good. These are good pictures. People dancing. And it was a really good wedding. About 120 people there. And if you're friends of Heather Dixon or George Dixon, these are all posted. And lots of fun. Lots of silly pictures here. Very, very good. It's hard to describe these pictures unless you're on Facebook. But I'm just kind of browsing through them to see them. They're very good. I think they were taken by either Jackie or some were taken by me. Some were taken by Heather. And there's a picture of me in the back. Taking a picture of Lila. That was funny. Okay. You've got... that's great. It's funny, how many people take pictures at weddings and how many pictures are taken of you or other people. It's just it's crazy. There were some very, very attractive women there at the wedding, and including the bride. But very interesting. If you excuse me, folks, I'm just kind of browsing through these. If you happen to be, by any chance, on my site or on my wall under Leo Steele, just go to some of these pictures. They're absolutely great. I'm not sure who took them, if Jackie took them or somebody, but shows all these people dancing and having fun. Yeah. So if you happen to be on my wall and you want to have kind of fun looking at things, just go to. the pictures by Jackie Bachman, and you'll see a whole bunch of fun stuff. Well, these are great, Jackie, if you happen to be listening to this show. God, how many pictures did you take? There must be hundreds of them here. Oh, there's a picture of me with the mother of the bride, and... a great time. That was a great wedding. Lots of great people there. Yep. Oh, there's a bunch. Yeah. God, I won't go through all these. There's got to be 100 pictures here. But I'll get pictures. And I want to thank. These were taken by Krista. Krista Dixon was Jackie's niece. But anyway, really, really very, very good. Very good pictures. I thank them all for sending them to me. Alright, I just flashed onto my home. Oh my God. I was like, AMAP Amazonian Painters just sent me a picture of, oh God. Yeah, these extremely fat ladies in bikinis. Oh my God. John Holt, the U.S. ladies beach volleyball team were a little out of condition after a short break. John Holt's an artist. And it's funny. This is grotesque, folks. But anyway, if you happen to be on my wall, check my wall out. There's a picture of my AMAP Amazonian Painters photos. Wall photo. And five immense women. Oh, my God. This is funny. Some great pictures here. Great pictures. I love Facebook for if you have the right number of right people on it as friends, it can be a riot and a fascinating time. Let's see, Dennis Jackson, owner of WQQQ, a good friend, says if. WOR's Tom Ray, one of the savviest broadcast engineers, sees factors stacked against IBOC radio in the marketplace and real world beginning to overcome the theoretical advantages, which are greater for 50,000 watt clear channel stations like WOR than they are for most of America's 6,000 plus AM stations. Can the end be near for the flawed and predatory system? And he boasts something of voice of broadcasting industry. And, Dennis is very active in the broadcasting industry. He owns four different radio stations. He's just a great guy and activist, if you will, liberal in the broadcasting, conservative broadcasting media, and interesting guy. He's a great guy. One of his friends, Dick Taylor, writes, I'm a career radio guy, don't have an HD radio, and have no plans to buy an HD radio. And after reading Tom Ray's piece in Radio World and seeing the spaghetti wiring nightmare, I'm really not interested in pursuing this technology. And I don't blame him. Avril Levine just sent me, she's a Facebook friend, she just sent a picture. No, she just sent a video with it. Some sort, but this one's rather hot. Yeah. Avril's rather I like Avril Levine, fascinating woman, girl, and great music, tremendous voice, quite a fan, and I gotta admit, folks, she's really pretty. And she sent a whole slew of new pictures, probably about 20, 30 different pictures of herself. And, yep. So I suggest, if you happen to check out my Facebook wall, I think you'll see, you'll enjoy her pictures. Very, very good. And let's see, we can go back to that was Avril. Here we go. Yeah. John Wheat Gibson, who's also a Facebook friend of mine, he's also a fan of Cindy Sheehan. And he's I believe he's retired now, but he was an immigration attorney. And he just noted that Cindy Sheehan challenges White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs to a urine duel. Let's see what that's all about. I checked her site, but I haven't seen it. The challenge. There we go. This is a post on Cindy Sheehan's wall. It says, contact Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan, soapbox, cindysoapbox@gmail.com. In response to Robert Gibbs, Cindy Sheehan's challenges him to a urine duel. Open California, August 10th, 2010. That was yesterday. Okay, today, in response to White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs' sensitive remarks, harshly and very unprofessionally criticizing the professional left for principled criticism of President Obama, Cindy Sheehan had this to say for her Oakland, California home. I want to make it very clear that I'm not a hypocrite, and any criticisms I have made of Obama are exactly the same things I have said when George Bush was president, because of the same foreign policies have continued, if not worsened, during the tenure of Obama's administration. In an interview with the Hill magazine today, Gibbs stated that critics of Obama on the left need to be drug tested. I will put my urine up against Gibbs any day. In fact, we'll travel to Washington, D.C. to give him a fresh and warm sample. This is Cindy talking. She says, I actually think supporters of Obama should be tested for hopium. Hopium in their urine. Hopium spelled H-O-P-I-U-M in their urine myself, Sheehan continued. Since Gibbs is a liar and a jerk, I will challenge him to a pee-off. I have remained consistent and ideologically pure in my activism, and I'm highly offended that Gibbs would want to use such divisive language. Is he trying to distract us from his boss's dismal performance or just about every issue he has faced, not to mention the environmental catastrophe in the Gulf? I have no drugs in my system and nothing to be ashamed of. It's Gibbs and the Obama regime that should be ashamed. Finished Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan is the mother of Specialist Casey Austin Sheehan, who was killed in Iraq on April 4, 2004. Since then, she has traveled the world seeking peace and justice and is the host of her own internet talk show, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. She's also the co-founder and national director of Peace of the Action, and has spent considerable time in D.C., since Obama became president, seeking answers from him as to why the war continues. Sheehan lives in Oakland, California, is the mother of three surviving children, very proud Gigi of three grandchildren, and likes to spend every minute playing with them. So that was the response of Cindy Sheehan to the urine duel, challenging Robert Gibbs. I see this is the kind of fun stuff that I get on my website, on my Facebook. It's fun to be able to share it with people. Let's see, what other good stuff is there here today? Amber Renee Jones, a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, says, "Hey everybody, sorry to not being on, but I'm going through some personal things. I hope all is well with you all. You guys have been on my mind. Thank goodness for my guardian angel. I love you. Wherever you are, I have a wonderful day. XOXOXO." And I have people sending her their goodwill. That's Amber. Look, Amber, and let's see, Lynn Bootin, who is also a Facebook friend of mine, she just wrote, "My husband just told me that I look like my 40s, and I look like I'm in my 40s, and it's quite insulting, I think." I look like I'm in my 40s. Well, then, you're a very attractive woman. I would say, I don't know what your age is, but, you know, you you know, maybe in the 30s or 20s, I don't know. But whatever, good luck. And Marcelo Villa, who's a friend of hers, and he comments, Lynn, you need to send him to get his eyes checked. You look amazing and nowhere near 40. There you go. Better go see what Lynn has here, what she's... Lynn has on her site, she says, Lynn Booten, now it's my last appearance on my Facebook show for the last 4 days. I'm going to say my daddy, so take care of you all beautiful Facebook friends. Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I will catch up with you later. I am not working for Heinz Ketchup yet. Do not mind a little contract, if interested. I don't know, LOL. So, you know, it's interesting. That, you know, people are fascinating. All fascinating people. And, let's see here. I'm just checking out her site. Everybody got a good sense of humor, you know. People, they just got a good sense of humor. And Lynn Booten, wish you well. Let's see, who else do we have here? Let's see. Susan Buchanan just sent me over a. I don't know if I don't really care to watch this YouTube, but Rod Stewart. I'm not a big Rod Stewart fan, but anyway. Keira Knightley's favorite picture. She sent over a picture. What's her favorite picture? Right? Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. Another message from Jennifer. Thomas Johnson said, heard thunder, went out to check on the cats. Cleo was still in her hammock, and Owen was hiding in the closet. Well, good for them. Wait. Let's see if we can find something more interesting here. Donna Emerson writes on her Facebook here, or she sent me a message, says, I just love pita bread. You can... have it hot with butter or spread. I love it with hummus. You can cut it open and stuff it like a peekaboo sandwich. You can stuff it, roll it, and cut it into little fancy swirls and have it with tea or coffee. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Scott Ackerman says, vegetables have fruits, seeds don't. Okay. Scott's a philosopher. That's interesting. Ralph Watson, who's a Facebook friend, sent over a population reduction plan to the Illuminati. It says, excerpts from the New World Order, facts and fiction, human population control. I'd like to go see that myself, if you can hold on. Sounds like an interesting one to me. excuse me. I thought it might be a YouTube video, but it's not. I think this is on Mike Dice's notes. I'll skip that. I'll read that in my leisure time. I didn't want to do that. Anyway, what I'm doing tonight, you may wonder what I'm doing tonight. I I've been reading posts on my from my Facebook account. I really enjoy Facebook. I can't help myself. I had about almost 960 something people, friends on Facebook, and I really enjoy their input. A lot of them send great updates and information. And sometimes you don't hear from them, and they don't hear from me. But you know, it's understood. And if they don't have anything to share, but you know, I just enjoy reading their stuff. I really enjoy reading what they have to say. And keeping up with them. These people are from all over, all around the world, Europe and Asia, Israel, all around the world, United States, of course. Okay. Ishmi Bon sent me a video. It says, watch the video the meat industry doesn't want you to see. And watch them, yeah. So hang on one second, I'll just see if this is a good audio. Starts off with in a pig trough.
What you are about to see is beyond your worst nightmares. But for animals raised on modern intensive production farms and killed in slaughterhouses, it is cold, inescapable reality. Once you see for yourself the routine cruelty involved in raising animals for food, you'll understand why millions of compassionate people have decided to leave meat off their plates for good.
Chickens and turkeys. Oh boy.
Chickens are probably the most abused animals on the face of the planet. They are crammed into filthy sheds by the tens of thousands, immersed in their own excrement among the corpses of other birds who died of heart attacks or stress. Some even die of starvation brought on by becoming crippled from growing so large, so fast, that their legs can't withstand the weight, which makes them unable to reach food. After being genetically manipulated and fed antibiotics to promote unnaturally rapid growth, their hearts, lungs, and legs often break down under the added weight. Heart attacks and crippling leg deformities are far too common. A PETA investigation found this farmer killing sick and injured turkeys by beating them with a metal rod and then tossing them aside, leaving them still conscious and suffering. This was deemed legal and standard by the industry. These turkeys were left to languish for 6 hours before being loaded back onto another truck to be taken, injured, to the slaughterhouse, another 4 hours from the scene of this accident. This undercover video shows the standard method of gathering chickens for slaughter. After enduring weeks in filthy, crowded conditions, the animals are loaded onto trucks and taken through extreme weather conditions without food or water to slaughterhouses. Where they are snapped into shackles by their fragile legs and have their throats slit, often while still conscious. Many are scalded alive in the feather removal tanks. If you thought it couldn't be any worse, think again. Between 5 and 11 hens are crammed into tiny wire cages during egg production. The animals might go insane from the oppressive conditions and attack one another, so their beaks, which are filled with nerve endings, are painfully seared off with a hot blade. These hens are so crowded that they are unable to spread even one wing during their entire miserable lives. They are unable to do anything natural, such as dust bathing or foraging through the grass. It takes an average of 34 hours in these conditions to produce just one egg. When egg production drops, Producers often shock the bodies of the worn-out birds into another laying cycle by withholding food for up to 14 days. Many die of starvation. Because their bones are so weak and their bodies so worn down, up to 90% of hens have broken bones or are hemorrhaging by the time they make it to slaughter.
Here's a little, Faye Dunaway sent this B.B. King, The Thrill Is Gone, from Tracy Chapman on YouTube. So that'll be interesting. Let's see what this is all about. B.B. King, The Thrill Is Gone by Tracy Chapman. B.B. King and Tracy Chapman together.
Thrill is gone.
Picture of Obama as a saint.
Yeah, and no, it's funny. The Dalai Lama. Cindy's funny. Cindy Sheehan. And let's see. Shariah Molyneux said, thanks for the updates, Douglas Bennett. In my line of work, I see so much of this, the whole system is flawed and corrupt. And she sent a HuffingtonPost.com video. It says, Gulf oil spill, worst hit victims. And you can't see them. We've all seen the heartbreak photo of oil-drenched whales, dolphins, seas, and other sunlit wildlife affected deep water rise and spill. A few of us are privy to a part of the ocean's most affected worst, a massive community of living creatures living thousands of feet below the surface. And I just wanted to take a look at this. Thousands of feet below the surface, known as the deep scattering layer. Mother Jones writer Julia Whitty was tracking the DSL offshore with the ecologist from Oregon State University when the well exploded 4,400 miles away. Shooting thousands of feet below the surface, the oil dispersed through the mesophilic stratosphere, for which 80% of the DSL dwells. I'm not sure what DSL is. Deep. DSL. I'm not really sure. They don't say what DSL is, but DSL is an incredibly diverse body of organisms upon which these whales, dolphins, seals, and turtles survive. They thrive in dark ocean layers by day and float toward the surface by night. Discovered by the hydrographers in the 1920s, the DSL accounts for 80% of all the biomass located in the mesopelagic zone. And before the spill, Woody says the DSL's rich biodiversity made it the last great resource to be exploited. Ironically, BP beat the fishermen to the chase when it set out to drill at unprecedented depths without the extreme safety equipment needed to stave off disaster. And then came the cover-up. And unwilling to skim much oil, BP has poured its energies into skimming up all available resources, renting virtually every hotel room on the Louisiana shore, helping to keep the press at bay, and buying the silence of scientists with lucrative pay and confidentiality clauses, chartering nearly every boat on the coast and employing virtually every fisherman and captain made jobless by the spill. BP has also managed to stifle worldwide knowledge of a frightening recipe of other toxins gushing into the ocean. Along with oil and corex, it is a list of heavy metals from drilling fluids, such as arsenic, metal, mercury, chrome, zinc, and radion nuclides. Never before in human history has the vast food web of the ocean, rooted in the dark and flowering at the surface, come under so many assaults from below, above, and within the water column, and marine welfare masquerading as a cleanup. Absolutely frightening. The DSL is constantly on the move, not only up and down, but inshore and offshore, back and forth, every day and every night. Kelly Benoit Bird, an oceanographer from OSU, DeWitty, this greatly increases the likelihood that any given animal or layers of life will be exposed to the pollutants at some point in the course of their travels, and each of these exposures will cascade up and down to the food web. And I would ask that people check out Huffington Post, August 12th today, and look at this article. It's called Gulf Oil Spill's Worst Hit Victims. It also shows another thing, dead cows cloned to boost U.S. beef production. Global weirding, beef BP to pay $50 million to Strange Animal Evolution. Watch thousands of dead fish wash ashore again, this time on the Jersey Shore. So there's a lot of ecological disasters, and sorry to say. But I want to thank all of my Facebook friends and for sharing their stuff with me. And I hope, and I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. It's the end of the show. And I hope you have a pleasant evening. And tomorrow night, please join us. We have George Dixon joining us. And we'll be talking about some of the esoteric schools, some of the esoteric knowledge that we cover every Friday. So please join us then tomorrow at 8 o'clock right here. So good night.